I think we'd be ready for perhaps a motion, but I'd like to talk about this letter of intent. I think it's very important, and I think we need to have another session on that letter of intent unless we can do it so we really understand, because it becomes extremely important, I think, in giving direction. I'm perfectly willing to do it right now if that's necessary. I mean, if we can do it in the time we have. Representative Freeman.
Chairman, let me ask you a question. Is this letter of intent fashioned on this concept?
It's, to the best of my, the only question I might have, I don't know if the late amendments, without amendments and the change in the date, would have any impact. I received those after.
But the section on the date would need to be changed. I think another sentence should be added to the section on the process for capital appropriation.
Because of the amendments. That was done afterwards.
And similarly, given the discussion, I think another sentence on dealing with surplus revenue would be appropriate. I could come back with those in 10 minutes.
Madam Chair, may I continue? As long as this letter of intent, you know, is improper, or this concept, is proper to this concept, and I have no problem with it. If this letter of intent says something other than this, I have all kinds of problems. I would want time before. I don't think we should hold up. Once we agree on what we need in the way of a bill, I don't think we should hold up on that simply because of this. And it would be my intention to have people who are competent to compare the language of the bill with the letter of intent, understanding, you know, the concept we're driving at, and if that jives, well, that, you know, there's no problem. But I think, well, it would be my suggestion that if we can agree on this language, that we go ahead and get, because time is running out on us, and I'd hate to be sitting here with my mouth hanging open when it's too late.
If you would entertain a motion, I'd move that we accept the language as it's presented with the amendments suggested, including Senator Fisher's wording change there, and pass the bill out of committee and then address the letter of intent prior to action on the measure.
Accept that, but for clarification, we would then add the as defined by law insertion, the change to 79, and the without amendments,
and then the suggestion of Senator Fisher to keep it with the rest of the Constitution by enumerating it as subsections of 2/3 of the membership of each House.
Also, if you take a look at the location of that, what do we have? As defined by law, in the wrong place on line 19.
Could we, I wonder if we could go over, could we have someone read each of those changes? I'm a little confused on A and B. Could we go over each one, just here again? The as defined by law, where did that come, after inflation?
Well, I'm sorry. It says change in population and inflation since July 1, 1979 as defined by law. 1979 is not what we're trying to define by law. Is
no.
Okay.
So that would be put where?
I think it should go after the word inflation.
That's what I had.
That's what I have here, and I checked it with Mr. Montgomery. He's an extra school teacher.
What did the school teacher say?
He said that I was correct, that it should be in front, as defined by law, should come after inflation.
And then the without amendments as listed?
Right.
May approve, and then without amendments. Each bill, well, it's each bill part as you're going to delete there. That sentence would read then, and the legislature may approve without amendments.
May approve, comma, without amendment, comma. Language that the lead on 22, the affirmative vote of insert entry after the word two-thirds, insert the word vote. And then on 23, delete the membership of, so it says, may approve without amendment each bill by a two-thirds vote of each House. Just the language of Article 13.
Okay, read it just one more time. Capital improvement, the legislature may approve without amendment each bill.
By A, and delete the rest of the line. And two-thirds vote of
each House.
Each House.
Madam Chairman, could we have somebody read the, it's not a very long amendment, the amendment in context with all the changes to be sure there's unanimity of understanding?
I think that's good. Senator, would you mind?
Oh,
Representative.
Before you do that, yeah. One other thing. It's been brought to my attention that maybe we should do something on a state of disaster. We went over this before. Should we say natural disaster or...
Human or...
We don't want to get this economic disaster bit mixed up in this. It's,
Madam Chairman, Mr. Freeman, I noticed the letter of intent, because you recall that's what disturbed me too. The word disaster seemed to more narrowly define what was meant than emergency. I noticed that the proposed letter of intent clearly states that the committee considered using the broader term word emergency, but it rejected this notion. Disasters include occurrences of natural or human origin that require special efforts to counter or ameliorate. Examples offered by committee members included the 1964 earthquake and the Fairbanks flood, but specifically did not include economic or fiscal crises.
That would take care of any concern that I had with it, because natural didn't fit either, because,
yes, sir.
You know, what if you had a gas main blew up?
Right. I presume the letter of intent would not.
We would want to incorporate much from the letter of intent into the voter pamphlet, and at least the gist of it into the ballot proposition explanation. In that manner, the court will utilize it in interpreting.
Jim?
Oh, Madam Chairman, I just had the point that Representative Freeman made.
That
fire,
would
for example, I suppose would be counted as something of human origin or mechanical failure, which is different from a natural disaster like an earthquake.
I guess I should say, as a practical matter, if the majority of each House and the governor think something is a disaster,
it's a disaster.
And it's not wholly irrational, of course, we'd hold off of it.
Still.
Go ahead.
But they don't do that unless it is.
We still have a language that says prescribed the law, so mm-hmm. We don't have necessarily have to depend on the letter of intent entirely.
Further clarification or questions, Representative O'Connell?
I apologize for coming in late. I was in that other free conference committee upstairs, but I hate that one old school teacher arguing with another.
Particularly when one man on hand argue with.
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But he was wrong. It seems to me that, you know, maybe it's a matter of semantics, but it seems to me that it is more accurate to have the words as defined by law following July 1, 1979. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you aren't really triggering a date. You're just you're defining something after July 1, 1979.
And we have it read in context, and maybe hearing it out loud will assist.
Senator Coletta, why don't we give you your choice of how to read? No, seriously, would you like to read the whole thing? I think that is important.
Totally, I have mine. Mm-hmm. Except for appropriations to the Alaska Permanent Fund, appropriations required to pay the principal and interest on general obligation bonds, and appropriations of money received from a non-state source in trust for a specific purpose, appropriations from the Treasury for a fiscal year shall not exceed $2 billion by more than the cumulative change in population and inflation as defined by law since July 1, 1979, except that the governor may propose appropriations in excess of this limit for capital improvements of the same type in separate bills for each type of capital improvement. And the legislature may approve without amendment by a two-thirds vote of each House. No other appropriation in excess of this limit may be proposed by the governor or approved by the legislature unless to meet a state of disaster declared by the governor as prescribed by law. The governor shall cause any unappropriated balance to be invested so as to yield competitive market rates to the treasury.
Each bill was left out in the reading, however, each bill by
hand. Yeah, each bill by a two-thirds vote. Did you have that done?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. So that's something
to say.
May approve without amendment each bill by a two-thirds vote of each house.
We'll be leading by affirmative vote all of them.
Right.
By affirmative vote.
Now, wait a minute. I had without amendments each bill by a two-thirds, so you'd leave by in.
And add an A after the word by. Then delete the affirmative vote.
By the affirmative vote all is what I had.
No.
Two-thirds vote.
No, we do have a difference here.
Legislature may approve without amendment each bill by a two-thirds vote of each house.
Just a question. I take it that the phrase since July 1, 1979 would have a comma before it. That would nail down
if
the
it does
phrase
that.
Of that position.
As defined by law, comma, is that?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Comma after the word inflation.
After law.
And another comma after the word law.
A comma after what?
After the word inflation.
And then after law.
Mm-hmm. After law.
How does the school teacher feel about that?
Because
do you think the other one would? Yeah, we do have a 5 o'clock, but. All right, Senator, that is your for adoption of
bill with those amendments.
Representative O'Connor.
Question. Again, you know, I apologize for being late. Was the question discussed at all that what we have right here right now, as I understand it, is a spending limit which cannot be breached except in two cases. Number one, the governor proposes additional capital spending, which the legislature must approve. Or number two, a natural disaster, well, not a natural disaster, but a disaster is defined by law. Was there any discussion of whether or not the legislature could propose additional spending?
Additional capital. Of course, Representative Palmer, we can for bonds, bond retirement, defeasance, permanent fund, investment market rates, if that means that the subsidy has to come out of the other.
Madam Chair.
On the capital issue, basically.
My question is on the capital issue. It wasn't discussed.
Yes. Would anyone care to respond specifically?
Yeah, also, I believe on the capital move issue, this is going to go on the 82 ballot and have an effective date of, 83, right?
90 days after
the vote. Yeah, the first budget can be effective. And capital should be well underway by
now. Yes or no? Yes.
No, I'm not concerned about it. If he's reading things into my question, then that wasn't the intent. I just simply wanted to ask the question if it was discussed or not. And apparently the answer is yes.
Yes, it was. And we'd be happy to go on with that. Is there other discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. May I ask you how you would like to proceed on the letter of intent? I think it's very important. If you need some time and I need time, could we briefly meet so that we could get a sign off of that sometime yet today? Representative Freeman.
Two things, Madam Chairman. I would suggest that we go ahead and proceed and get the bill informed, get the committee report all typed up. I would like to read the letter of intent,
sure.
And I would like to talk to my office. If I don't find anything out of order of this and they don't kill me, I'm ready to sign off on it. But I think for what
I would need to do it, it would take a few minutes, but I think, you know...
You may well find some change, I'm no proud of authorship, I think it was, and I would want, Rod has had an opportunity to review it, Rod?
I would like to take the time necessary, with it, mechanically, it's going to take a little while to get it ready, and so we've got that in mind. I think we ought to, so that we're agreed to say what we mean.
Could we set a time to meet, I think that's important, tomorrow at 8 o'clock? Or tonight, what?
I've got a morning meeting, about 9:30.
Tomorrow morning.
The only thing is I'd like to have this type and ready for the, wait a minute though, for the session, could we make it 7:30 tomorrow?
Yes.
But the point of it is, if we want, don't we want to move this before, maybe tomorrow's the day we all evaporate,
Yeah, but don't you need the time to write the letter?
Is it on card?
And on that, it
won't take long.
Tomorrow morning, it's a matter of reading and going to the floor.
Yeah, but it may need some changes and some rewriting, that's my only concern, Senator. Governor?
Madam Chairman, my other question about an evening meeting is, I guess it would be directed a little bit to Mr. Freeman. Although, do you anticipate any serious problems? Because that, if there were, we might require time. I mean, you know, if the 7 o'clock deadline tomorrow night is the real one, and I'm told that it is, we're getting very close to margins here. I guess I just have to ask your judgment.
My guess is that it's not going to take me long to get a yes or no answer out of my caucus. I expect I'll get a yes answer, but that was part of the agreement that I would check back with them.
Can we meet tonight at 9 then?
I can meet tonight at 9.
I really...
See, there's only one problem, and what that problem is going to be is that's going to require pulling the minority members off the floor in the House for a caucus for this purpose, which is going to slow down the action on the floor. I don't really like to do that. We have regularly a caucus meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. So...
Well, I had thought you were going to them right away.
Well, but I can't get them together that quick. And by the time, the first time I'll have them all assembled will be when we're on the floor, which would require to slow the floor action, which is right now.
I would suggest that in the committee report, there aren't going to be any substantive problems. It tracks the bill very well. There may be some technical changes that just to satisfy people that it's being said the right way. And I would think that just between now and 8 o'clock in the morning, the members could contact Margo with these and give them to her and she can incorporate them.
Maybe that's the best way to do this on an informal way and have a meeting at, can we make it at 9 tomorrow or would that interfere? Senator Coletta?
No, that's fine.
Representative O'Connell, can we set a 9 o'clock meeting?
Tonight or tomorrow
morning? Tomorrow morning.
It should be
yes. Well, my only concern was if for some reason there appeared to be a problem with the language of the amendment, by 9 tomorrow the clock is running now. We're getting awfully close if someone trips the toll, you know.
Representative Freeman, I think that the government is very persuasive. If there's a problem, if we wait until 8 with your caucus, you know, to make a change. That's very late in the substantive change.
Okay. I asked Mr. Rhodes if he'd take the responsibility for researching this thing and see if it tracks with the bill, and I would expect that I could have that in the morning, have this thing researched in the morning by 8 o'clock when I go to the caucus, and shortly after that, I think I would have all the answers I need.
The question was on the limit itself. What if we come back, and we've already passed that, so I'm assuming that there's no problem. However, you can't speak for your caucus. Or can you? That was not properly stated. I would like to take that motion. That wording. No. Would you anticipate?
I anticipate that the caucus will be agreeable to the language we have in this, and if we don't get off track with a letter of intent, I don't expect any problem.
Governor?
That's fine, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to make one other brief statement, and that is that I, too, have been a member of this process for many years. This is the first time in my knowledge, in my years here, that a committee has opened up for full participation by particularly a constitutional officer and members of the executive branch and the kind of give and take you've had. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all the committee members for the manner in which they've let us participate and recognition that they've given us in terms of our and their priorities. On behalf of the executive branch and particularly the governor, I'd just like to thank you, Madam Chairman, and all members of the committee for the courtesy you extended. I'm delighted with the product that the committee decided to turn out. It's been a good job.
Fine, thank you. We'll meet here at 9 o'clock in the morning, but we'll get back earlier if we could get word to my office of any problems that you have with the wording, so that we can be as close as possible. I would anticipate you would actually get everything ready and sign a report in the morning. Is that appropriate? All right, thank you very much.